Live from New York City, it's the Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null, broadcasting live, but not video streaming, out on the road, filming. Look to premiere our film in the next 2 months. But there's 7 more films on socially relevant issues right behind that. Today, on Talkback, no guest, no in-depth investigative reporting, but lots of healthy information, and throughout the entire program, your opportunity to call in and share your point of view, questions, comments, insights. Happy to address all those. Our number, 888-874-4888. 888-874-4888. And also, I realize many of you, that the numbers just keep growing, and just they're astronomical, who are listening over a telephone. And it's understandable, because we're a very fast-paced society where people are always moving. And historically, you had to be glued to a radio. Not today. Your telephone, 619-550-0869. And that can tune you right in. 619-550-0869. Let's begin. Music can boost your immune system. And this is an important study from Sussex University and the Max Planck Institute in Germany, and here's what it says. Listening to music can give your immune system a boost and may help fight off disease. And the scientists found that after listening to just 50 minutes of uplifting dance music, the levels of antibodies in volunteers' bodies increased. They also found that stress hormone levels, which can weaken the immune system, decreased after being exposed to the music. And so that's all good news. Now, this reminds me of when I was watching a Dr. Audrey Carger, one of the more remarkable people I've met in my life. She was a naturalist. She was a natural hygienist. She, for a long time, was a raw foodist. She drank more juice than any person I've ever met. And she lived a long life. In fact, she gave up a fortune in order to live a more natural life and travel the world and to study. And we were doing an experiment, and this experiment involved growing plants. She had already proven by being able to use light on mice that she had first put this light into water, and that was the whole issue of how she meditated on the water. And now we know that what she was doing was decades ahead of her time. A Japanese scientist found that when a group of Buddhist priests were asked to think about one word, let's say the word was love, or a separate word was peace or harmony, and then before they began the meditation, he would take a single drop in an eyedropper of water, and then he would freeze it. And then they would meditate before the water was dropped and frozen. And when they weren't meditating, it was just like you broke a piece of glass. Just there was no organization to the frozen water crystal. But when you meditated, the meditation actually created the physical reality, and there were beautiful designs in this. Now, you can't have one truth that is based upon the transference of energy without realizing that all energy can be transferred and therefore transformed, not just with meditating and having the form of water change. And he did that experiment many times. In fact, the latest research is where some electronic equipment is hooked up to the roots and leaves of a plant. And then that is hooked up to a particular type of instrument. And then as the plant begins its vibration and gets the feedback loop on what it's creating, it actually harmonizes the sound. it's absolutely remarkable. It shows that the plants have just an extremely intelligent sense of communication we just haven't been able to tap into. But now we know that trees talk with each other. We also know that we are all made up of energies, and at the cellular level, these energies are what determine our health or our disease. But there's consciousness within the energy. So, when Audrey Carger was meditating over the water, that she then put these different lights in, and the different colored pieces of light, of glass, and then she held those over the mice. 6 out of 6 times, her mice reversed their cancer. Now, Morton Jacobs, a famous chiropractor, he was famous because everyone said he had healing hands. Well, indeed, he was able to heal. A Dr. Thomas Kruth also did the same. A Rabbi Michael Weissman did the same. And Dr. Dolores Krieger, head of nursing at NYU. 44 people who tried were not able to create results. So then another study we did, we had sprouts. And the sprouts were separated, same identical seedlings, and one just grew without any influence. But another, you had your tray of sprouts and you could do something, and Dr. Carger would come in and she would play music. But she played very soft classical music, and then at times it wasn't a soft classical, it was more of a, like a flute or a harp. And other people would go in and just do meditations. And in all cases, the sprouts grew faster, had more mineral content and more chlorophyll. Sometimes they grew 300 times faster. It's just remarkable. You see a group of sprouts at a half inch here and 2.5 inches in the next room. Same identical conditions, same water, same soil, same seedling progenitor. So it was only the energy. So now when I read this study done at the Max, by the way, the Max Planck Institute in Leipzig, Germany is a very famous place that do very serious work. They're saying that playing music while a patient was under anesthetic during an operation also helped to lower the levels of harmful stress hormones. And that's outstanding. So she was doing this way back then, and now we understand the scientific basis of it. So, the takeaway message, at some point in the day, put on some very peaceful, tranquil music, and it helps your immune system. The typical restaurant meal is loaded with fat, salt, and calories, so says this new study. This is from Health Day. Here's what it says, quote, "The next time you sit down at your favorite local eatery, ponder this. Two new studies find that the average restaurant meal provides diners with most of the calories, fats, and salt they require for the entire day in just that one meal." This was published in the Journal of the American Medical Association's Internal Medicine. I think this audience is very clear that fast food meals are loaded with calories. And just look at the size of them. Remember, meat is very high in fat, and fat yields twice the calories as carbohydrate or protein. Fluids may prevent constipation better than fiber. This is the latest on this whole topic. This is from the Department of Veterans Affairs Medical Center in Birmingham, Alabama. Here's what they say. This was given to us by Reuters. It says, "Everyone knows that getting enough fiber is a secret to staying regular. But a large new study finds that people who got plenty of fluids were the least likely to suffer from constipation. The results highlight the importance of hydration, but shouldn't discount fiber or other lifestyle factors," according to the authors. My thoughts on it are simple. The very first thing that I do when I'm detoxifying anyone is I start them on 16 ounces of pure organic juice the first day, every day for 1 week, then the second week, 2, then 3 up to 6, unless they suffer from a debilitating condition or terminal cancer, in which case it goes up to as many as 15 glasses of juice, and each juice is different. Well, they never have constipation because of the phytonutrients and the type of natural fats and acids that are in the juice that help alleviate any form of backup debris in the intestine. Now, there's three things in the intestine. You have bacteria, lots of it. You have non-digested fibers, what we call oligocellulose. And you have dead cells. You also have remnants of the food that you probably ate too fast or too much of or in the wrong combination, or you had too little hydrochloric acid, or you had too much liquid in the stomach, so there was this dumping of food in an overfull stomach into the intestine, but it wasn't fully masticated, fully chewed up, fully hydrolyzed. Remember, the stomach doesn't have teeth. So this whole idea of chew, gulp, drink, chew, gulp, drink. Just watch people. They're not taking their time. They're not chewing their food. They're always distracted. And so that ends up in that intestine. That's what causes, especially fat in the diet, constipation. But stress also causes either constipation or diarrhea, depending upon how anxious a person is. So water, and especially juice water, which is the most powerful, can cleanse that intestine. One of the best juices for cleansing, for constipation and detoxing, cabbage, watercress, kale, celery, green apple, and lemon with ginger. That is one of the most ideal detoxification cleansing juices imaginable. That'll get you regular. And if you put a little bit of black cumin seed oil, like a teaspoon in there, you'll really move. Grapes are one of the most perfect foods in nature. I'm referring to organic grapes, of course. We have not yet discovered all the healing nutrients in grapes. There are hundreds of phytonutrients. Here's the latest study from Science Daily, as published in the Journal of Nutritional Biochemistry. And this was done at the University of Michigan Health System and sponsored by the National Institutes of Health. Here's what it says. Mechanisms for how grapes reduce heart failure associated with hypertension identified. Quote, a new study appearing in the Journal of Nutritional Biochemistry demonstrates that grapes are able to reduce heart failure associated with chronic high blood pressure by increasing the activity of several genes responsible for antioxidant defense in the heart tissue. That's terrific. We know that grapes are loaded with polyphenols and also antioxidants. So the more grapes you eat, the more grape juice or grape concentrate or grape powder, the healthier you're going to be. So that's the key. Now, consider this. More than 1 in 7 people on the planet, 1 billion people worldwide, have hypertension. That increases their risk of high blood pressure and heart failure by 300%. And heart failure resulting from chronic hypertension can result in large heart muscle that becomes thick and rigid, which is called fibrosis, unable to fill with blood properly, that's called diastolic dysfunction, or to pump blood effectively. And oxidative stress is strongly correlated with heart failure, which is a deficiency of glutathione to be used in the right way. So, think about that the next time you think about having some grapes. You could be saving your heart. You could be preventing a heart attack or a stroke. It's simply one of nature's most perfect foods. An interesting study, and then I'm going to go to your calls because I'm looking here, and we want to be able to, on our talk back, take as many calls as possible during this period. You can call in now at 888 888- 888-874-4888. 888-874-4888. This is from Laval University, and here's what it says. A review of sugar-sweetened beverage studies supports a suggestion of a master plan developed by this industry, meaning the sugar beverage industry, to instill doubt about the adverse effects. Well, in lay language, that means that there's a whole lot of propaganda going on to try to convince you sugary soft drinks are not dangerous. Yes, they are. They lie. I'll report exactly what Laval University says. Quote, a review of multiple other reviews investigating the links between sugar-sweetened beverages and obesity supports the suggestion there is a master plan by the industry manufacturing these drinks to instill doubt in consumers as regards their adverse effects. The review is being presented at this year's European Congress on Obesity in the UK by Dr. DeWalls from Laval University in Quebec. Quote, the role of sugar-sweetened beverages on the increasing prevalence of obesity is a matter of great interest. In recent years, reviews have been published on this topic with very different conclusions. Then it goes on to talk about, if you see something good being published, almost always it's industry-supported. But the industry is very wealthy and very smart, so they'll go hire a doctor who will put his name on it and then put the word out. There's nothing wrong with sugared soft drinks, but there is. So now you know they've got a whole lot going on to try to confuse people. From the Journal of Psychopharmacology, done at Swinburne University of Technology, this is a randomized, double-blind, placebo-controlled study. What did they look for? Chocolate. Was chocolate able to enhance a good mood? You bet. Coca or cacao, it's the same, contains flavanols. And the darker the chocolate, the more the flavanols it contains, quote, and this can keep you calmer and content. And that is important. Doesn't take a lot either. It's as little as 20 grams. 20 grams would be less than an ounce, so you don't have to have a lot. And why? Same thing that makes grapes one of nature's most perfect healing foods, polyphenols. I remember once I had my little tiny health food store, which is still there, by the way. It's the oldest health food store in Manhattan. And this is not the one that I have on 89th and Broadway. This was up on 108th and Broadway. I had zero employees. I was the only employee. And I remember it took me a year before I had my first $100 day. I celebrated my $100 day. I actually went to a movie. Because when you're running your own business and you have to open at 4 in the morning so you can take advantage of having the sanitation people would stop and get their breakfast. So I'd make their breakfast, and then I'd close down and run downstairs in this little cramped basement, and I'd package up all the sunflower seeds and all their bulk items and run back up and then open for lunch and then serve lunch, run back downstairs and do more, come back up, serve dinner, and then finally close up and go home. And it was a major amount of time. Some very unique Upper West Side striving actors came in, and later some of them, including Hector Elizondo, who used to come in regularly, very nice man, he and his whole family, he became very successful. But that was when there was not a great deal of variety that was being offered. But I never will forget that this guy came in one day, and he says, I understand that you're very interested in helping people who have cancer. I said, yes. He says, read this little book, and he hands me this little book. And it was a little tiny book, and it was called The Cancer Cure. It had a yellow cover on it, and it was all about a woman who had terminal cancer and did not want to go through any more medical processes, but had heard from a naturalist about what someone had done in some country, and just grapes and grape juice, and that's what this person did, and it was able to reverse her cancer. Now, I had no way of knowing if that was accurate or not accurate. We didn't have the internet then. But it always stuck in my mind that there's, you know, I've heard from so many people in my travels all over the world how powerful grapes are in Spain, in France, in Italy. It's common to use grapes. We just don't use it in our society. But I'm talking about for major diseases. I'm not talking about red wine now. I'm just talking about grapes and pressing grapes, needing the skin and the seed. And we should be doing that in our society. And now we know it's got polyphenols. Well, chocolate has polyphenols. So if you have chocolate and grape, you're getting two sources that can do you a lot of good. And finally, before we take your calls here, fish oil may stall the effects of junk food on the brain. This is from the University Institute of Aging and Chronic Disease, University of Liverpool, as reported in Science Daily. Quote, more than 180 research papers suggest fish oils could minimize the effects of junk food can have on the brain. And that's because of the omega-3 fatty acids. Research over the past 10 years has indicated, quote, that a high-fat diet could disrupt neurogenesis, a process that generates new nerve cells, but diets rich in omega-3s could prevent these negative effects by stimulating the area of the brain that control feeding, learning, and memory. So they scrutinized the data very carefully of 185 research studies that revealed that fish oil is very important in the brain and can make a big difference. So, yeah, because it's anti-inflammatory. One little more thing. Broccoli and banana plantain fibers found to restore gut health and treat Crohn's disease. Broccoli, banana, plantain, fibers, and I think what they mean is broccoli, banana, and plantain fibers. Some people think that a plantain is a large banana. It's not. Well, that's all because the fibers in there are very healing. They're anti-inflammatory. And it can also impact in a positive way your immune system. Broccoli sure can. That's all good. I'm Gary Noll, back in a moment. Then we take on your calls and your issues. Give us a call, 888-874-4888. 888-874-4888. Everyone, I'm Gary Nall. Let's see what's on people's minds. Let's go over and say hello to Tamika. Hi, Tamika. Your turn.
Oh, hi, Gary.
Please speak up. I can't hear you.
Oh, okay. Hi.
Hi.
Oh, you wanted me to tell you my story.
Well, how could I give you an answer if I don't know the question?
Oh, I'm sorry, Gary. I was telling the young lady, I said, you know, it started from an injury. I fell down the stairs and fractured my foot a long time ago, and I never got it corrected. I never got therapy or anything. So I was just wondering, you know, because I noticed that my leg is different now. Like, I can't stand for a long time. I can't walk as far as I used to. You know, and it starts carrying over to the right side, even though there's nothing wrong with the right side, but, you know, it kind of carries over. And I was just wondering if you knew of anything that maybe I can do, maybe until I get to the doctor or anything, because every time I go to the doctor, one doctor thought it was MS, but when they kept monitoring me, they noticed I don't have any other symptoms but that one leg, so they figure it's not that, so they ruled out MS. So they don't know what it is. They have no idea. So I'm just wondering if you knew of any ideas I can try or something.
Let's see if we can't put this in proper perspective.
Okay.
You've had an injury. From that injury, you have pain, correct? But you haven't been able to get a proper diagnosis. Now, whether it's acute pain or whether it's chronic pain, acute means that it needs immediate attention. Chronic pain is the pain that occurs intermittently or for a period of time, and we learn to live with it. First and foremost, you have to have a proper diagnosis. But then what you could do to see whether or not this is simply a pull, a tear, some form of trauma, you could use acupressure. Now, acupressure is one of the non-invasive procedures. It's based upon the same foundational system of acupuncture, meaning it's also called contact healing. And it's actually older than acupuncture. And it's where you have someone stimulate a chi point and therefore return the life energy, which is chi, that throws through the body and through the pathways, and these pathways are called meridians. And while acupuncture uses a needle, a very tiny needle, one that almost no one ever really feels, even when they stick it in and twirl it to get a particular energy flow going, it can, in a lot of cases, stimulate healing. You can stimulate neurotransmitters, which help to inhibit the reception and transmission of pain. And acupuncture is completely non-invasive, so that's one I would do. Then, of course, you could also do acupuncture, but you might also want to try what is called a stimulation of the ear or the auricle. That would make it an auricle therapy. And that means that you're alleviating some stimulation that is blocked. You're increasing electrical stimulation. Now, some people can do that with acupuncture and acupressure, but just gentle massage makes a difference as well. It's been around a long time. But it's mainly on the ears. You can also use biofeedback. Now, these are not expensive therapies, and these are not invasive. Chiropractic can also help. Heat can help, heat or cold therapy. Heat and cold packs are simple to use control of pain tools. And just so you understand, heat is for backaches, arthritis, where you want heat to respond into the tissue. And you want to raise the temperature in a given part of the body to enhance blood circulation and help the muscles to relax. Let's say if you had a long run and you were very stiff and you need increased mobility. Heat can be applied also to Part of the body using hot water bottles. That's easy enough. Or even gel packs. Now, cold is because it helps prevent swelling. And it's where you have a strain, a sprain, an injury. And generally use cold within the first 24 hours. And then there are herbs that can help when you have pain. Angelica, black haw, cramp bark, kava, rosemary, valerian root. Those are outstanding to help with pain in the muscles. Or you can make a tea with blue violet and catnip and gota cola and rosemary and white willow bark and wood betony. So those are easy to use also. And then hypnotherapy can help magnets sleeping on a magnetic mattress or wearing magnetic pants. And then you can use Reiki, reflexology, shiatsu, Feldenkrais, even deep tissue or trigger point can also help if it's something that has caused a muscle to hold itself into a constricted position, which is very common. I see it all the time in runners, and have someone who understands how to get in to a specific muscle, and they hold it, and it's very painful initially. But then you suddenly don't feel the pain. That means the muscle has gone out of a spasm, is no longer held in that position, and is relaxed. But it might be a whole line of muscle down a leg. So those would be the things that one could do that are not invasive, not expensive, before you get your helpful diagnosis. Hope that helps you, Tamika. All the best to you. Let's say hello to Lou Ann Panessi, who's standing by. Hi, Lou Ann.
Hello, Gary. Well, I hate to sound like a broken record, but once again, a number of listeners sent me an article that they found on Reuters. And sure enough, the habitats of many common plants and animals will shrink dramatically this century unless governments act quickly to cut rising greenhouse gas emissions, scientists said on Sunday after studying 50,000 species around the world. Now, this is coming out of Oslo, but Gary, you've been talking about the plants, about the fact for over 10 years that more than half of all the plants, a third of all the animals, are going to be at risk. They're going to be dramatically reduced, and the greenhouse gas emissions can be reduced, but what are the chances of that happening? They say the hardest hit areas are going to be the species in the sub-Saharan Africa, Australia, the Amazon, and Central America. So, of course, the audience is asking for your feedback on this, and what do you forecast?
I forecast several things. Let's break this into its pieces in order to understand how it all fits together. There is an old Jewish proverb, a wise man hears one word and understands two. So let's just put that to what you had said. We are losing over 200 species per day and have been for several years. Within the next 50 years, if we don't make radical changes now, about 90% of all the major species of plants and animals will be gone. And that's because of the interconnectivity of all species. For example, when you have lesser snow packs higher in the mountain ranges, then there's nothing to reflect the sun back into the sky. As a result, the sun hits a naked rock and warms it. That's why, for example, in olden times, including in the United States, there were types of rock that they knew were more dense. So in the evening, they would heat those rocks. Then they would put them into a warming can that had a long stick on it and would stick that underneath the mattress. That would then radiate out. Now, depending upon a person's financial circumstances or their motivation, they might have two or three of these under a given a mattress. They wouldn't burn the person because they were held inside of these particular little canisters, about a foot by a foot. But at some point during the night, the heat would wear out, but not before a person was able to get to sleep and feel warm and comfortable. Kind of ingenious when you think about it. Now, imagine the same concept works on a mountain. If you have snowpack, the rock can't warm. But if there's no snowpack, then you do have a warming of the rock, and that is held inside. Just like New York City at 2 o'clock in the morning can still be very hot in the summertime because concrete holds heat. And it stabilizes that heat. Whereas if you're out in the suburbs, even though you're only 10 miles away from the city, you have a completely different heat index. That means now that after a period of years, you have less snow, which means you have less water. That means now that what would not have grown at that higher altitude, let's say at 6,000, 7,000, 8,000 feet, now you have different types of grasses and plants growing. But what about lower growing? It means it's too hot. So where it's too hot, and too hot could be just 5 degrees hotter than normal, it can destroy whole species. Also, when the heat is in the ocean, you can also have acidification, which means you change the pH of the water, and that means that the coral that supports enormous amounts of life, and then all kinds of fish eat off the coral. But now the coral's dying. It's bleaching out. The sun is killing it. So as a result, the fish that used to eat the coral are dying off. And then the larger fish that used to eat, like the krill that's eaten by the great sperm whales, they're dying off because there's not enough of their food. So there's a chain reaction going clear down. So that's about the plants. Everywhere you look, the plants are being adversely affected. And then we don't care. We'll go into Southeast Asia and into Indonesia, Myanmar. We'll go into India, to the southern Indian continent, and we'll just start planting genetically engineered soybeans or whatever it might be. And the same way in Brazilian rainforest. Well, there was a giant rainforest there, and there are thousands of species of plants and animals and insects that live there. But there's not a lot of topsoil. You don't have a lot of topsoil in the tropics, very little. Sometimes only 1 or 2 inches of topsoil. So you see these roots don't go deep. They travel on the ground, and the trees are easy to fell. So what happens is you take these giant bulldozers, you put these huge chains between the two bulldozers, and you just go through a forest, and suddenly the entire forest has just collapsed. In hours, and then you burn it. And then the burning of it creates a potash, and this potash is then used as fertilizer to grow the soybeans. So for the next 3 years, you'll grow soybeans, but then the yields stop because there's not soil there, and then you just left a desert. And then it becomes desertified, and then nothing grows, nothing lives. And that which had lived is concentrated, over-concentrated, and overly competitive for its food and survival in the remaining rainforest. This is also happening. But what you left out of the equation was humans. Last year, more than 26 million people lost their homes and lost their livelihoods and the quality of their life because of exceptional environmental catastrophes. There were over 118,000 one-of-a-kind, worst-in-history events. The United States had 11. This past week, we've had 2. We had fires in California 4 months before the normal fire season, and we had 12 tornadoes in West Texas last week, And one of those was clocked at over 200 miles an hour, making it possibly the most powerful tornado in that area of the country's history. Exceptional? Yes. Remarkable? Absolutely. The new normal? Absolutely, too. That means that there are fewer and fewer places for a larger and larger number of people to be able to safely and sustainably live. Right now, there are 7 states that simply are running out of water. I mean, they're out and it's not coming back. Guess which one you'd never think of in the West is running out of water? 89% severe drought and 48% extreme drought. Colorado. So
wow.
Say goodbye to all those wonderful Rocky Mountain High, because they're not going to be able to grow the high-range cherries and peaches and nectarines that they were famous for, because there's not enough water. And the resources are under contract with other states from major laws that they passed. So now it's against the law in Colorado if you go out and to capture the waters that comes out of the sky, rain, from a cistern. All that water's already been allocated. So they're going to have a lot of trouble. But Indiana, Missouri, New Mexico, Oklahoma, between 90 to 99% severe drought and water shortages. That means they're not sustainable. But they have a lot of people. And in New Mexico, because of the aesthetics and because of people enjoying the heritage of the state, which is beautiful, more people are moving there. Same thing with Arizona. Arizona is a dead state as far as its future. It's running out of water, and yet more people are moving there because they can buy cheap houses that lease them or flip them or live in them. So what are we doing? Today in the New York Times, there was a front page, or not a front page, but a whole page in the first section that showed rebuilding the homes on the beach, but at what cost? Nowhere in that article did they explain that it is absolutely inevitable that there's going to be larger storms than a Category 1 Sandy. Mind you, if Sandy adversely affected 5.5 million people, destroyed over 70,000 homes, cost over $75 billion, as a Category 1, the lowest category you can get, imagine what a Category 5 would do. Then you'd be looking at a million dead. You'd be looking at $2 to $3 trillion in damages. You'd be looking at massive devastation. So instead of looking at the fact that the oceans are warming beyond any mathematical model to accurately predict what's going to happen, Antarctica is melting faster than ever before, or faster than what anyone could predict. Greenland is melting. That means it's not, are the oceans getting warmer? They are. Is this going to create more storms, more hurricanes, and higher velocity? The answer is yes. Where will these hit? More and more are going to be hitting Europe, an exceptional situation, but also the northeastern United States. And we're not prepared for any of this. Instead, they're rushing to get the beach open by Labor Day. They get their priorities wrong.
Yeah, they're rebuilding boardwalks.
Yeah. They shouldn't be rebuilding anything because it's all going to be washed away again. Instead, we should be giving people an opportunity to know other places they could live and help them in that effort. But we're not doing the right thing. We can't because of two reasons. The government, none of the governments, none of the major governments, none of the top 20 governments are going to do anything meaningful about the environment. They can't because of the groups of powerful people that control their vested interest. These are the groups, including the Koch brothers, that earned about $119 billion in total revenue last year and are worth about $20 billion each. And they're not about to take on the job of installing clean manufacturing principles. It's a whole lot cheaper to buy legislators at the state and federal level to control any state or federal air control, water pollution standards. No administration has the courage to stand up to the special interest group because they've all been compromised by it. There was an article in today's New York Times that talked about how the entire political establishment in New York has been corrupted. And it states very clearly that any Democrat, no matter how independent thinking they are when they got elected, they must give obedience and pay homage to this 19-year reigning majority leader in the New York legislature, Mr. Silver. So he controls everything, every law that gets passed, every bill that's proposed, who's going to go on different committees, how much of a stipend they're going to receive. So if you don't abide by his rules and his majestic ego and megalomaniac state, then you're relegated to insignificance. So that's probably true in every single state. But it's also true in every governmental agency. The best of intent of a low-ranking person in the department to serve the public interest, the environment's interest, our health interest, is never going to be considered if in any way it challenges the power and wealth and financial sustainability of one of the major corporations or banks, media. It's not going to happen. So on the one hand, to be realistic, you have to say that no change is going to be coming in any timely manner that would help us on any level. It hasn't. We've had no change in how children's food is advertised. So we're willing to sacrifice up the children and create epidemics of diabetes, obesity in these children, or heart disease in these children, knowing full well that the outcome is going to be they're going to be sick and die sooner than any generation of their type in history. Number two, we also turn around with the same mindset, and we create private-public partnerships. We go into a city that is now victim of misuse and abuse, like Detroit, and where everyone else sees massive ghetto and crime and destitution, those in power see an opportunity to make money, providing that they're given the control. And one of these people was just given the control to run Detroit, and he comes from the largest law firm in the United States. So needless to say, everything he's going to do is going to be self-interested. Now, it doesn't make him a bad person. It just makes him a self-interested person. And that's true with the military-industrial complex. It's true with the energy cartels, with the medical-industrial complex, and all of them. They're only interested in themselves. So then how does this impact your question about species? It's irrelevant because they consider themselves at the top of the food chain. They are the great white sharks, and everyone else has a nosebleed. So no matter what happens, they are virtually primordially reacting to maintain their environment and conquer it, and they've succeeded. They can dress it up with rules and legislation and having a police state to back them up, so no one challenges their authority. But even on 60 Minutes, did you see Leslie Stahl? One of the dumbest interviews I've ever seen in my life.
I saw it.
I mean, if she was any dumber in her presentation of questions, she'd be a brick. And yet that passes as journalism. Why didn't she have on anyone who, like Glenn Greenwald, or have on any of the people who, Naomi Klein, and who could make a good argument of why we should not allow corporations to be able to identify us when we walk into any environment and to have a complete data bank on everything about our lives. It's simply wrong. Yet that, it was more of an inconvenience and just poo-hooing, what happens when every single action in your life is being monitored? Every single thing that anyone knows about you or that you're willing to tell yourself and everything you've ever put in any form on a computer, internet, or cell phone, all of which is still there. Nothing can ever be deleted. That's what people don't realize. They can all be captured, and now they have it all. And now a governmental agency. And she's allowing the FBI to say, well, you know, we respect. They should have had someone on who knows the history of the FBI and how it has set up sting operations. And it was one of the chief movers behind the effort to try to get Martin Luther King to commit suicide by using blackmail of an affair he was having. They're up to their eyeballs in illegal activity. Why didn't they have anyone on? As if, oh, you say you're not going to abuse any role. Oh, okay, then why shouldn't he be angry? Just stupidity. So what we have is we have a nation that has the majority of the individuals in the United States are going through various crises and stressors. And so they have been given a medication for it. It is the media. Marshall McCune said the media is the message. And he was correct. So now the message is, why bother? Don't stress. Chill out. We're going to give you all these reality shows and sports and action movies. And we're going to give you cheap credit. And we're going to give you a lot of junk foods. And you can keep yourself busy. And if you really get a problem, you can always put Johnny on Ritalin, yourself on Prozac, your husband on Vioxx. But just become a dutiful person. Don't challenge. Okay, so then they don't have to care about species, except their own. And it's very narrowly defined. And we're excluded. So the answer to your question is, don't look for help. There is no help. Don't look for any high-integrity people within government. There are none. Don't look for any foundation or group in the environment to come to the rescue. They've already all compromised. So what do? We care about ourselves, and we become the change that we expect other people to be. We become that change. We began to look for how we can make ourselves healthier, and the first thing you do, you get off their grid. Stop believing that they're the best and brightest at anything except helping themselves. The world is a worse place on all levels because of their involvement. The World Bank, the International Monetary Fund, the NAFTA, GATT, the quantitative easing, the Federal Reserve, look at the IRS. And if you or I committed the same indiscretions with intent that the IRS does, if you're being audited, you'd be brought up on criminal charges. Why aren't they, all of them, being brought up on criminal charges? But then again, there's no shortage of crimes against humanity that this and previous administrations should be brought up on. But as long as they're the ones who control the judiciary, and they do, then they control for the moment, they control any blowback. But they might want to take a look down in South America. They might want to take a look at Pinochet and some others, including the former Honduran president who's just been convicted of crimes against humanity that happened decades ago. I hope that happens in the United States. In the interim, my suggestion, become aware of self-sufficiency. There are millions of people becoming self-sufficient, finding better habitats to live in, learning how to live with less. Because the moment you need something, or you're convinced you need something, and those people are the ones that are providing it, then you're enabling them. Does that answer your question, Luann?
Absolutely. Thank you.
Okay. I'm looking at the clock. We're out of time. I want to thank all of you for taking your time to listen in. And if you miss something, please go to the archives. We have a lot of ways that people can listen to this program, but 99% of the people listen by downloading the show. And you can download it anytime you want. It's there. Go to progressiveradionetwork.com. Look at the archives. Have a nice day, everyone. And thank you very much for listening. Now let's say hello to Mike Rupert, who's standing by. Hi, Mike.
Hello, Gary. There has been an amazing shift of energies this week. And it's pretty clear to me that the human race is starting to become aware of its mortality, about how these dire crises, we have passed multiple turning points, option points, at which situations could have been corrected beyond being lethal. And along with that, with the shift of energies, of course, in the outer world, the jackboots are coming out of the closet in terms of corporate control of the world. And I'm very pleased to have tonight a very special guest, Sal Giancarelli, who is a medicine man, a Uipi man, a healer from the Gottfried Schipps family. It's a legendary family of the Lakota Sioux. We're going to try to talk about these events and what we can learn and glean. I've been spending a whole year trying to build a case that science and spirituality are one, and especially that indigenous peoples have carried truths we all need, especially now. It's going to be a very special show tonight.
We look forward to it. Michael Rupert, right now on the Progressive Radio Network.
Today I'm more confused. Yet I look for the light through the pouring rain. You know that's a game that I hate.